to another Outlet at Home experience. I'm Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community Church, and I want to thank you for tuning in today, whether you're watching live, you're catching the rebroadcast, or you're listening to the audio podcast. Thank you. Really, like, you're investing into your spiritual growth and development, and I would like us for the next few minutes that we're together to partner as we go through the Word of God and continue our series. And last week, I started a series entitled My Father's Business, and this series is really going to anchor around the kingdom principle of stewardship. And just as I was going over my notes and praying about how I'm going to communicate to you today, I'm going to ask that you kind of join me for the time that we have with the Word of God, with a notepad or an iPad. I've got two, as you can see right here. I want to walk through some things because, quite honestly, the title of today's message came because I was watching people mess up some premium opportunities. And, you know, you just are sitting there watching it like, I cannot believe you're messing up this miracle. And so I don't want you out here to mess up your miracle. I don't want you to mess up what God is doing in your life. But I want you to see from the Word of God how you can be about your Father's business and how you can exercise stewardship in a biblical way. Before we get into the text today, I just want to recap from some things that we talked about in the foundation I laid last week. The first thing is that we do not own anything, but we manage everything. And so in the Old Testament, it really deals with the responsibility of one who is a steward, one who is entrusted something. But in the New Testament, the Greek word oikonomos deals with the character and the approach of stewardship. So not only is it important about who you're becoming while you're stewarding, but what approach are you taking to steward what God has freely given you? Well, with that recap, let's get into a brand new content for today and go with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And we'll be looking at verses 14 through verse 29. And this is known as the parable of the talents. Again, this is called the parable of the talents. And I want us to look at this entire parable. And a parable is not an actual story, but it's a story that has symbolism of a kingdom principle that Jesus wants to relay to us today. And what I love about how Jesus taught and how he told stories is that the illustrations he used, they made a profound impact on those who were listening. And so today I pray this same thing. So we're going to be reading about 15 verses. I'm going to tell you right now, let's go through this entire parable and we'll pull out really the hidden key in this lesson of stewardship in the parable of the talents. We're starting in verse 19 in the New Living Translation. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags. Somebody type in, secure the bag. He gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another. Someone type in, secure the bag. And one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. And then he left on his trip. The servant who received the five bags of silver began to invest the money and earned five more. The servant who had two bags of silver also went to work and earned two more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them and gave an account of how they had used his money. See that? He gave them the money. The money never transferred ownership to them. They were simply managers. And when he came back, he wanted an account for his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more. Verse 21, it says, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so I will give you now many more responsibilities. So let's celebrate together. The servant who had received the two bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I have earned two more. And the master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." So you see, the reward and the celebration of the talents was not based on who had more and who had less, but the key here was who did their best with what they were given. That's the key here. And so we go on to verse 24. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate." Verse 25, I want you to highlight or underline this verse. He says, "I was afraid that I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you just deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have got some interest on it." Verse 28, then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." The title of part two of my father's business is simply, "Don't fumble the bag." Somebody type that in the chat. Don't fumble the bag. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we have opened up with such a rich text, an understanding of seeing your heart to give us great and wonderful things. But Lord, may we look into the mirror of your word in our lives and see in these places and in these moments where we're not stewarding or managing properly. Help us to realign our lives, to realign our actions, to be who you've called us to be and to do what you've called us to be. For every person listening, may you open up their heart and their mind. Holy Spirit, write upon their hearts. I totally lean into your grace to deliver this word. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't fumble the bag. Now, according to dictionary.com as well as Urban Dictionary, to fumble the bag means to make an unwise investment. And of course, we're looking at terms of money or terms of finance, but this also can relate to other items of value to us, whether it's our time, whether it's our relationships, whether it's our employment, or whether it's our businesses. It is important for us that we are to make wise investments with everything that is coming to us. You see, one thing that can happen in seasons of abundance is that we can permit seasons of waste. And what God is saying and showing us is that what he's given to us is precious, and that we are to take from an investment standpoint the proper steps in order to provide a return, whereas the one person who had the one bag, he didn't. And I want us to take a further examination on what happened to this servant who was not only called wicked, but he was also called lazy. So go back with me to Matthew 25 and verse 24. And it says, "Then the servant with one bag of silver came and said, 'Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate.'" Verse 25, which I believe is the point or the entire lesson that we should pull out in why the person with the one talent did not properly invest. He says in verse 25, "I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it under the earth. Look, here is your money back." I want you for a moment to put a finger in Matthew 25 and join me in the book of Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 9 and 10. As I was reading this text and looking into this scripture, Genesis 3 and 9 hopped up in my spirit. And I want to show you all something, because we would think he didn't lose the money. He gave him back exactly what he was given. So why was this master so upset? Well, as we pair Matthew 25 and 25 to Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Then the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?'" So this is, we're taking a parable with an actual event in Genesis chapter 3. And this is the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. And God was walking through the garden in the cool of the day after they had made a mistake of trusting in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what that tree represents is, instead of you simply following the instructions of what God was sharing, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil said that now man can take into his own, her own consideration, what's right and what's wrong when it comes to obeying or disobeying the word of God. And it said when Adam and Eve did that in verse 10, he says, he replied, "I heard you walking in the garden," watch this same phrase, "so I hid and I was afraid." Whoa, looky here, y'all. Matthew 25 and 25, when the master in the parable came back to the wicked and lazy servant who did not invest the talent that he was given, his response was that, "I was afraid, so I hid it." But in Genesis with Adam and Eve, God came to Adam and Eve and said, "Why did you all hide?" They said, "Because I was afraid." Well, if we take these two and line them up completely, it all came down to, because Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they felt they had a better way. So with the parable of the person or the man who had one bag of silver, the reason why he didn't invest is because he had a better way to return what God was trying to give him. Don't miss this point. Think about in our lives when we're not stewarding our time properly, when we're not stewarding our finances properly, when we're not stewarding our relationships properly, what we're telling to God is, "I know what you said, I know what you gave me, but God, I have a better way." And when we take matters into our own hands, we will always fumble the bag. And so fear was the ultimate culprit in Matthew 25 and 25 of solid biblical stewardship. When the person with the five talents operated according to kingdom principles as it relates to talents, they doubled what was originally given. When the person with the two talents operated according to kingdom principles, they doubled what they were given. But when the person operated according to what they felt was best, they ended up losing the very thing they were trying to keep. But if we could, I want us to take for a moment some liberties with the text, because we have the story of the parable, but we don't necessarily have all of the details as to why the person with the one talent may have hoarded or held on to their talent as opposed to investing it. But I would dare to say that the fear that the person with the one talent had was a result of probably a traumatic experience in their life. And so sometimes we're afraid, not because we just naturally want to be afraid, but we've been hurt before. We've been disappointed before. We've lost our jobs before. We've lost our income before. We've gone through a bankruptcy. We've gone through a divorce. We've gone through a layoff. We've gone through a setback. And so when we're now provided with an opportunity to believe again, an opportunity to trust again, an opportunity to invest again, we then, instead of trusting the kingdom principle, go to our mind and say, "But God, because of what I experience and because of what I know," watch this, "because of what I know about you, I'm going to take things and matters into my own hands so that I can give you back what you gave me." And he calls that wicked. There is no point and no season of our life where we're to take anything that he's given and only supposed to give him what he gave us. God is saying, "Because of my kingdom principles that I've given to you," and we talked about this last week, where when God made man in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 26 and 27, he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." So that means every kingdom principle that you're given for your assignment, for your calling, for your business, for your household, for your marriage, for all of your dealings, it is supposed to cause you to be fruitful and to multiply so that you can dominate where you are and bring glory to God. But when we depend on our own intellect, We depend on what we think is right based off our own experiences. We end up losing what we're trying to hide. We end up losing what we're trying to hide. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through it. So when I operate by kingdom principles, I'm operating in faith. And so faith activates stewardship, but fear activates hoarding. Come on, hear me. Faith activates stewardship, but fear activates hoarding. I'm afraid to trust again, so I'm going to withhold my love. And I'll be straight up honest. This title of Don't Fumble the Bag came because I was watching some fellas and a gentleman mess up a great relationship situation with a nice situation that he had. And I'm like, man, you've been praying for this your whole life, and you're going to fumble the bag now? I was like, no, we can't fumble the bag. Don't make a bad investment with what you're giving. Don't make a bad investment with your time. I'm using an Usher reference. See, Usher in his song Bad Habits talks about that he loves love, he's just bad at it. And it's all because of his bad habits. His habits, when he's trying to do the right thing, another one comes around and tries to pull him off of what he's supposed to do right. All of those traumatic previous experiences open you up, if you don't submit them to God, to cause you to lose the very things that he's given you. I can remember starting this church, and as we were starting, you know, the biggest thing that I looked to do was establish relationships. You know, of course, we want to establish relationships with people who have gone before the places that we're going to, in order for us to glean and get wisdom from. And one of the biggest areas were there were men and women who were a lot more seasoned than my wife and I, who wanted to take us under their wings. And because of previous experiences that we had with people who we've been disappointed, it was hard for us to accept the love they were trying to give. Because in the back of our mind, we're like, well, why do you want to be nice to us now? No one's been nice to us before. Why do you want to do this for us? Why do you want us to, you know, I've never had it where somebody wants me to text them or call them when something's going on. And I would always question the love that I was being given because of the past traumatic experience I had in those same types of relationships. So it's taken me months, and in some cases it's taken me years, to lean into the gift of relationships, of networks, and of mentors who God has sent because of the fear that comes with the past. So I hoarded connections. I hoarded my time. I hoarded my availability. I hoarded my vulnerability. But what I realized is that whenever we do that naturally, it's because we're also doing that spiritually. That the most important thing is that we are to be, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, stewards of the manifold grace of God. How you treat your natural relationships is a simple reflection of your personal relationship with God. When it comes to business, when it comes to operating a company, and one thing that we're going to be doing this month is releasing podcasts with different entrepreneurs and people who are going to give us excellent tips to increase our footprint in whatever market or whatever sphere that we're in. And when it comes to trusting with the grace of God and using faith to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to trust what you say. I'm going to trust your principles. What that does is it allows you to then live your life from a proactive point of view rather than a reactive point of view. You see, the wisdom of God will cause you to always be proactive and doing things ahead of the curve, ahead of the change. If you are in a particular field right now and you're looking to break into a particular market, the key is not to wait till you break into the particular market to begin employing solid business principles. The key is where you are right now, invest and appreciate and take care of the opportunities that you're given. If we always wait for the big one to come through before we ever do what's right, we'll miss the lessons that come along the journey of getting to that particular point. And so we have to be people who are committed to being good stewards even while they wait. If you just write down in your notes here for the sake of time, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 11, what it does is it gives you a summary of the purpose behind the wilderness journey of the children of Israel. As they were leaving out of captivity, as they were heading toward the promised land, as I was going over this text, I saw the correlation between our wilderness journeys and stewardship. So in our life, we're either in a place of bondage, in a place of oppression that we're trying to escape and we're trying to get out of. And then once you're out of there, you're inside of this middle point or this wilderness experience where you're not necessarily sure about where your footing is. You're not necessarily sure about, you know, what the next move or the next deal is going to be or where the next contract is going to come from. But you're in a place of having to depend totally on God as you're walking toward what you believe is the end of your goal or your objective. But in the midst of you going from point A to point B, in that middle ground, it requires us to be excellent stewards of every moment that we have. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about how with the children of Israel, they were given spiritual food. They were given natural food. They drank from the rock, and the rock was Christ. But it said in verse 5, God was not pleased with them. Why wasn't God pleased with them? And he made sure that our Bible has a record of this because they were ungrateful. In verse 10, it says, and don't grumble as some of them did and then were destroyed. In verse 11, it says, these things happened to them as examples for us. See, the wilderness is our example of the correlation between stewardship and making sure that while we wait, we still are being committed to divine biblical principles. In our society, there's this feeling that if I'm not going through what's called a windfall season, and a windfall season is where you can't miss. Everything you do is working. Every phone call you make on a lead is a sale. Every place that you go, everybody is singing your praises. You've got testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony because of how good life is. Your bank account is high. You have no complaints. I mean, you're just having the time of your life. When people are in seasons that don't look like that, they feel like that they're somehow losing or they're falling behind. But I want you to be reminded that you are still winning even when it's not a windfall. You're still successful when, here's the key, you're doing what God told you to do for your life, period. And every day you wake up, you put one foot in front of the other. The only person you have to answer to is God, did I do everything you asked me to do? And with this season I have, is there anything more I could do? Do you want me to hold at bay or do you want me to release? But the key here is complete obedience to the things of God. As many of you know, one of my hobbies that not only myself but also my wife take advantage of when we have some free time is she and I like to golf. And I remember, you know, my wife, she started golfing maybe September of 2020, just something during the pandemic for us to get outside and to have some recreation. And I can remember when my wife was first starting out, she believed that every shot that she took was supposed to be something from the LPGA tour the first week that she started. But after a couple weeks, she realized that that is not the case, and she was completely frustrated. Well, one thing I learned about golf, as I said, there's two humblers in life. It's marriage and golf. One thing I learned about golf is that the same way that I looked at her thinking that, you know, she was expecting every shot to be perfect, I found out that I felt the same way about my own golf game. And golf teaches you about who you are as a person. And in your mind, before you go out to every round, you're thinking that you are going to play the round of your life. But more times than not, you're not. And there's a simple lesson that I've learned about golf that I want to share with you as we close today. Just because you hit a bad first shot or because you hit a bad second shot, unless you lose your ball and it's the last one you got, it is not the end of the game. You can always recover. You can always make the next hole better than the one before. You can always make the next round better than the round you had before. The key is that regardless as to how things look and regardless as to how you feel, don't give up. Stay focused in the moment. Stay focused for the task at hand. Stay focused in the season that you're in. You expected all these different leads, but let's just say you only had one. How well are you treating that one lead? You know, social media have you comparing your likes, your engagements, your comments. My thing is, are you interacting with those who direct message you? And I'm not talking about those creepy inboxes. I'm talking about legit direct messages, because some of them DMs need to leave unread. Another story for another day. How well are we approaching where we're working a job right now, one day praying to have our own business? Are we on time for the job that we have right now? Are we one of the most productive individuals in the company right now, or are we keeping up a lot of the chat that goes on? I don't think they have it by the water cooler now, but the side conversations. Like, how are we with what we've been given right now? And when we take care of what we've been given right now, your gift will make room for you. The majority of a host of the breakthroughs that I've experienced over the last few years haven't come because I put my resume in the right place. They haven't come because, you know, I made myself visible on social media. They came because I served faithful where I was at. And that's the lesson. That's stewardship. Wherever you are, whatever you have, be faithful to that and allow God to open the door for the next opportunity. If we're unfaithful in little, God will not trust us with more. If we're hoarding because of fear, we'll lose what we're trying to hold on to. But when we operate according to faith, we activate this kingdom principle called stewardship that says, God, whatever I have in this earth does not belong to me, not my time, not my talent, not my treasure. What do you want from me? And I guarantee you, when you make that a point of your life, God will open up doors that your mind couldn't even fathom. Amen. Let's close out today in prayer. If you're out watching, listening, and you just found yourself in fear, you found yourself just finding yourself afraid to trust, to try, like you're playing it just safe. And it's like life is not progressing, and you find yourself in a large sense of anxiety, just overwhelmed by the prospect of tomorrow. What to do next? Can we get an agreement and pray together? I'd love to do that with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm praying for my brothers and sisters who are watching, who are a part today as we talked about not fumbling the bag. God, we want to be as the servant with the five and the two talents who trusted in you and invested into where you'd have us to invest with our time, with our talent, with our treasure. Lord, help us to overcome the fear that gets to each of us, that tries to cause us to hoard our giftings, hoard what you've given to us. But may we, as your word says, be manifold stewards of the manifold grace of God. Help us to steward well. Help us to love well. Help us to lead well. Help us to be about your mission on this earth without distraction or delay. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you pray with me, just let me know by texting I've prayed with you to 770-667-4899. Again, it's 770-667-4899. Again, let's operate according to faith. Don't get in fear and don't fumble the bag. I'll see you next time here at The Outlet.